And welcome to the gallery and to neighbours.
Sorry.
Okay, just before I start taking apologies and attendance and so forth, I just wanted to run through what's on the agenda for the gallery and for timing issues. So we're beginning at about 1:15. In this first half hour, at least hear Lloyd in the public forum, Lloyd McCall. And then we'll go on to the proposed submission on biodiversity, and I've given that about half an hour. And then the annual plan, and I've given that about half an hour. I may be wrong, but maybe longer. Don't know. Can't see them. Not responding. And then we go into Port Otago's strategic asset review, and I've given that half an hour, though that may extend. After that, we're going to take a quarter of an hour break. That might take us through to about 3:30, 3:45. And then we have the public excluded, whether we public exclude or not. That's an open issue and can be decided upon us by us here. Need somebody to move the motion. They might move one. And then we're into deemed permits and the plan change, whatever it's called, Plan Change 7. Okay, and I've left about an hour and a quarter for that. Are people happy with that? Because I'll try and push the meeting to meet those sorts of schedules. Is that okay, people?
Sounds good to me.
So suddenly people ask thousands of questions, have millions of arguments. If I glare, you'll know why. Yes?
Sorry, but I have a petty crisis. I can't even close down my iPad in order to open it up again because it's stuck on the fairies.
Oh. There's a wonderful woman beside you who knows. No, right
no,
beside you,
one,
darling.
No, I can't make it work for me, but I'm trying to.
You do a reset.
It needs a reset, yeah.
It's quite safe for you to come in.
Shouldn't take your computer on a ferry.
There'll be no helpful comments from the side benches. Okay. Okay. Okay, people, welcome to our council meeting of the 11th of March. I don't think we have any apologies. We may have by the end of the meeting. The attendance is all here. Our staff present will identify as they come up for each different paper. The agenda, I think you've just... Oh, sorry, love.
You know the agenda I'm going to add. And expecting a glare because I'm adding to your... any time, just that motion that we deal with the EV charger.
Shall
proposal.
We deal with that after Lloyd and
absolutely
before the confirmation
fine.
Of minutes?
I'm hoping it won't take more than 1 minute.
Okay,
thank you,
Deb. And would you keep reminding me, sweetly?
Yes.
Okay. Conflict of interest... Let's leave the deemed permits aside for a minute because we'll probably deal with that then. But are there any other issues before deemed permits that people think they have a conflict of interest on? There being none, we move forward. So therefore, I ask you, Lloyd, to come forward to talk to us. Lloyd McCall from the Pōmahaka scheme, for want of a better word, has got some issues for us. It's all yours, Lloyd.
Kia ora, nei mō mohoa, ko koe te wingua, te kina te Māori o te wai. Wai hoa te toi pōpō, ko kawa e te toi rawa. Ko Lloyd McCall, tōku wingua. Thank you very much for having me here today. I just says, remember your name, that gives me the ability to be free to speak my mind. And I always start with that, te kina te Māori o te wai is the... phrase from the Pōmahaka Watercare Group, look after the life force of the water, and wai o e te toi pōtō kua e te tōrā, let us join together, not fall apart. So they're my whakatokis for the day. Madam Chair, councillors and staff, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today. It's not often, but I've actually prepared something to say today rather than just winging it. So I'm basically just going to go through that. I'm here to discuss the proposed water quality rule changes known as the omnibus changes. As you know, these changes were to be considered at the 12th of February council meeting, but due to voting issues, the matter was not discussed and deferred till the 25th of March meeting to be considered prior to proposed notification at the end of March. It has then been proposed in the media for the minister to call in the plan changes after notification. At the time of the February meeting, the changes or what was being worked on was available for public, and which I've got a copy of course, that has since been taken down. My concern is that there's been very limited input from industry and landowners as to the proposed rules. After initial forum with the dairy industry representatives around effluent management, the council decided to pursue a consenting regime for effluent as opposed to a permitted activity structure. I personally was in favour of the consenting structure with clearly defined requirements resulting in a transparent consenting process with clearly defined rules or requirements that are not subject to interpretation. The purpose of the rules being to protect the environment rather than adding costs to meet the aspirational outcomes of infrastructure and minimum or no-risk application methods that will add no additional benefits to the environment. I'm proud to say that I come from Otago, where responsibility for the environment has been taken up by proactive landowners. Yes, we need some clear, agreed-based rules to activate change from unengaged landowners. I've spoken in many areas around the country promoting landowners taking ownership for their environment, their environmental outcomes, and work with their regional councils to achieve those outcomes. I see neighbouring regional councils and do work on farms in their area. I get a good feeling when I return to my area where farmers have a respect for the environment. This was clearly shown with the intensive winter grazing being put under the spotlight by a third party. In our area, I'd like to say that our farmers are already engaged. By not including the landowners in the establishment of the rules and proposing to notify a suite of new rules and consenting requirements without significant input from farmers or landowners is effectively taking away ownership from the landowner and giving it to you, your regulatory authority. This may be resented by the affected landowners, and the trust that has been getting restored in recent months could well be lost. Handing down significant rules without prior discussion, similar to the government's essential fresh water package, is likely to result in the content being lost in delivery. As the public does not trust the delivery, they will not trust the contents. I believe proceeding on the current path of exclusion sets a dangerous precedent. I feel morally obliged to offer my opinion on the proposal now rather than wait until it is notified. My email has that you've all had a copy of the email, all the councillors and a lot of the staff. My email has detail around the proposed rules as per the February 12th discussion document. I understand there have been significant changes from then until now. As the consultation since that meeting has not included industry or landowners, I'm not privy to the updated position. I, however, struggle to see why there would be significant change to what was intended to be put in front of the councillors in February. Some quick bullet points from the original discussion document. Any rules need to be clear and not subject to interpretation. Consenting of existing ponds should be based on their risk to the environment. Ponds of sufficient size that do not leak or pass a drop test should be consentable. Additional requirements will add unwarranted costs to the landowner to the benefit of a contractor and no benefit to the environment. The possible requirements to replace existing ponds of sufficient size that do not leak will likely be detrimental to the environmental as minimum size ponds will be installed. Desludging ponds is expensive and identification of any visual defects is very subjective. Any certification requirements for ponds should be clearly identified with suitable people available to carry out the work. In other words, what are we certifying and who's certifying? Confusion around existing clay-lined ponds needs to be cleared up. If they pass the drop test, they are doing their job. We are dealing with the reality of current economic and social conditions, not idealistic, risk-free aspirations. Given today's economic climate, has there been any work done around landowners' ability to raise additional funds to install new ponds? The Massey University DairyNZ and DairyNZ developed a pond calculator that should be used in the extension process and definitely support the standard drop test for all ponds. Application, from what we've seen, is pretty open. Exercise discretion. What's the definition of discretion? As to the application depth and rate, nutrient loading rate, size, and location of disposal areas. What are the expectations and who will decide? Some existing systems may have limited options. There needs to be a lot more clarity around this. Adverse events management. What are the expectations? What are the mitigants? Management plan and quality of compliance. What does this mean? Slurry and muck spreaders should also be included in the application consent regime. Implementation. How are the changes going to be implemented? Implementation is the key. Are there statistics as to how many ponds that will require consents? Are there resources to process these consents? How many ponds will need to be replaced? Are there qualified, experienced people to provide supporting documentation for consents? Have there been any trial runs looking at the process from the start to the end? Have there been any actual costings completed for the landowner to provide sufficient information and consenting processing? In the end, I agree there is need for rules around the effluent. With some discussion, I believe a collaborative position could be agreed. How powerful would industry endorsement be? I am concerned for the process to date. I'm also concerned at the expectation that councillors will agree under pressure to a document that they may not fully understand the possible ramifications or consequences, environmental, economic and social. I thank you for the... everybody has a copy of my email and I've just taken that as read and I'm happy to answer questions on that. I thank you for the opportunity to speak here today. I'm happy to get it off my chest and I'm happy to be able to go home and say I've done my best for my fellow landowners. I'm happy to take questions. I will be in town tomorrow afternoon if councillors and or staff would like to continue the discussions. Thank you very much. Ka tae tātou te mahi, nō reira. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou ka tā.
Thank you very much, Lloyd. Are there any questions to Lloyd? Yes, Brian.
Are you going to take the opportunity to submit to the formal consultation process with your insights?
It will depend what comes out at the end of the day. I'd like to think that what comes out would be... I will submit positively or with question marks. How I see it.
Thank you.
I think my fellow farmers may struggle to submit, particularly if it is submitted to not directly to you guys, put it that way, if it's taken up by the minister.
To a court.
Because they'll be scared and they will not have the ability to sit and talk.
Just before you ask, Hilary, can I just reassure you, I have met, as Sarah, with the principal judge of the Environment Court, and we raised those issues about barriers to submitting. And he's talked through a number of different examples, and Sarah actually has them, of these courts running on some of the big projects, like that tunnel that goes through in Auckland and the roadway that goes over. And there's a variety of ones, including rural farming ones. Everything is done, possibly, to actually lower the kind of procedural angst that people have and to make it a genuine thing. Okay, Hilary.
If there were three things you wanted me to know, and I had 10 seconds, what would those three things be? The most important three things that you want to say.
So the three things are everything has to be transparent so people can be able to see what's expected. There has not to be open to interpretation because how you guys interpret it may be interpreted differently in 5-10 years' time. And we need to have community buy-in to the rule changes because if you've got rules for rules' sake, you're only putting in maximum standards, not minimum standards. If you get community buy-in, you'll put in minimum standards.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
How realistic do you think industry endorsement might be?
I think it's very realistic because the way the process was going, we had a meeting and, okay, we spent all day and the council decided not to follow the will of that meeting, although I was definitely on the other side, and it was like agreed that we'd have a clear, transparent consenting process. As I understand it, the vote had taken place, there was a meeting planned for the next week, which was with industry leaders, to discuss the proposed rules, at which stage there would have been significant input put in there. Whether they are taking up or not, at least they were given the opportunity to have an input into it. And then I don't think they're that far. I don't think there's a lot of air. All it just needs is a bit of tightening up, and it just needs to have a choreo going. We need to keep our relationships going, because our relationships are improving, and we just want to keep it that way and not just smash it like the essential fresh water did. Because if you just lay something out that the farmers, at this stage, the farmers aren't expecting anything great, and you're going to put something out, and it's just coming from above, they're going to be suspicious of it, and what you're wanting them to submit on is going to get lost in crazy stuff.
Any further questions for Lloyd? Any further questions for Lloyd? There being none, Lloyd, thank you very much. I think that your point has been made. We will debate this in a fortnight's time. There may be lots of interaction between then and now.
I'd like to think there'll be some interaction. Thank you very much for your time, and I wish
you well.
There
already has been, to a certain degree.
And I was very interested in the report surrounding the port as well. In your agenda.
You can stay and listen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lloyd. Okay, people. Thank you. Let's go to, did I say I'd take you next or do the confirmation of the minutes?
Just to put it under matters for the council's decision.
Okay, love. So let's move to the confirmation of the minutes. The minutes of the 26th of February. Would somebody like to move that these are accurate? I'm having a bad day.
Sure.
Carmen, thank. Can I have a seconder for that? And that's Kate. Is there any questions or concerns with the minutes? Kevin, you've got a concern?
Yeah, on page 9.
On page 9 of the minutes, or page 9? Matters for noting.
Matters for noting. Now, all I'm looking at there is that the correct way to record? Council Forbes did not participate in the voting due to possible conflict of interest, which I thought was very good. But should we not have recorded that a councillor, not particular instance to Councillor Forbes, that the councillor did or did not take part in the conversation? I'm asking that as a...
I'm trying to find your bit.
Oh, sorry, under matters arising, the second sentence, Otago UN Regional Centre of Expertise.
Yeah.
Councillor Forbes did not participate in the voting.
Page 9.
Oh, I see. It says, receives this report and notes and approves the proposed policies... Including councillor participation in the process through a series of workshops? No, I'm looking at the wrong thing.
Page 9.
Did not participate in this item, the discussion or voting on this item.
I get it. You didn't participate in the voting. She did participate in the discussion because the question about the voting didn't arise until the end, after the discussion.
Now, I'm not particularly pointing that one out, but it's a matter of process. Do we in fact need to say when a councillor has been party to the or part of the conversation?
Well, that's normally what we do, Kevin. When I call at the beginning of a meeting, are there any issues up there in which you will be conflicted, you should pull back. There was contention about whether that councillor on that occasion was conflicted. It was brought up in the middle of the argument just prior to voting.
Correct.
So although normally I would like that to be up before the issue, it didn't on this occasion.
Yep.
Okay. Given that, are we okay? Can I move the motion that these are acceptable minutes? All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, closed. I have now lost everything known to man. Excuse me. Oh, God. Back to the agenda. And I'll have no laughing from the seats. We're up to action, status of council resolutions. Anybody got any queries on those actions? Oh, what a wonderful little group you are. Really? We've got the Lake Hayes culvert.
Yep,
consultants preparing a cost estimate. That's in progress.
It's all done.
Through Madam Chair, yes, the cost estimate was received from the consultant. It was provided to the parties on the 20th of December.
I've had
a response from QLDC and NZTA to say that they would be prepared to contribute toward that. I have not yet had a response from the Department of Conservation.
Okay, so that's what we're waiting on. Thank you, dear. Anything other comments or questions on outstanding actions? There being none, we don't actually pass a motion on that. So we go down to matters for council decision, and we have one. Moved. Kate.
I've circulated a slightly different version than that's now up on the, I think going to be up on the screen shortly. And it's just that the ORC supports a CODC application supported by ChargeNet and DCC to the Eco-Low Emission Vehicle Fund March round. And the reason this is under urgency is that it has to be in this week or at the end, beginning of next week to support the development of a fast charge network between Dunedin and Central Otago, Queenstown Lakes via State Highway 87.
Okay, and State Highway 87 goes through Middlemarch.
It does.
Right.
And I don't have any legal
on. No, I wasn't doing conflict of interest there. I was just doing, checking which one it was.
And you've got some electricity yourself.
Happy to second.
Happy to second from, that's a great day. Could you all turn your names towards me because I'm having that sort of day? I just warn you. Alexa, thank you. Any further
Darling
discussion or questions? Any questions? No questions? Yes, sir.
State Highway 87, I'm just...
It's from Moscow to...
Okay, can we put the motion?
Yes.
All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried. Thank you, and thank you, Kate, for the way that was handled. So we're up to the first part of our agenda, which is the proposed submission on draft national policy statement for Indigenous biodiversity. And we have two submissions, the draft submission and the draft MPS for Indigenous Biodiversity. And we're bringing to the table, Rachel. Which is Rachel?
Rachel can't be here today.
She's not here. So who have I got, Gwyneth?
Gwyneth, Anita, and Anne.
Gwyneth, Anita, and Anne.
Apologies. Yep.
That's all right, love.
Apologies for Rachel. She can't be here today. So Anita and Anne have been involved somewhat with this, so they are stepping in.
Thank you
and
for doing
we'll
so.
Take it as read
at light notice. Hi, Anne. Okay. First of all, I'm presuming that we've all read this. So what I'm trying to do every day with the paper is open it up for questions, looking at the time, and then move it to a debate, moving the motion and a debate. So any questions first up of the lovely three at the bottom of the table? Yes, young man.
It's a bit of a question and a statement, so you're just going to have to bear with me. But I have had feedback from the extractive industry, which essentially is mining and quarrying that particular industry,
yeah.
Or those industries. And one of the concerns that they have regarding the Indigenous, this discussion document, Indigenous Biodiversity MPS, draft MPS, is that they've sort of been lumped in with other industries where they see their issues to be quite different. So as the strengthening of maintaining Indigenous biodiversity occurs through this promotion of this document, the ability to essentially have any open cast type, either mining or quarrying, becomes extremely difficult. So what I'm trying to say here is that the document probably doesn't recognise the challenges that they have going forward to even exist, because the emphasis on maintaining Indigenous biodiversity is ramped up to a higher level. So I'm not sure whether you can actually change the submission, but I needed to highlight it here because I was contacted about it, and I needed to share it with you. But they are obviously, the industries themselves are obviously submitting, but when you look at our regional policy statement, we talk about being to ensure that we a sustainable management of the environment and sustainably manage the environment and having a healthy economy. So with that in mind, those industries are trying to do that, but they see that this particular discussion document puts some significant impediments going forward for them. I'm not expecting you to give me an answer, but I needed to share that publicly, okay?
What I will say, Councillor Noon, through your chair, is there is some ability for us to amend the submission through recommendation 3, if you want to go down that route.
You might say that.
It could be a sentence that says, in all of this thing, there needs to be some balancing of economy and environment, or we could leave it
Can I just note, Anita, that we have got in two, ORC staff position supports the MPS, but records its limitation by excluding aquatic. Oh, that's the MPS excludes the aquatic. Right. Sorry, forget I even raised that.
We want the same statement around.
Through your chair, the chair was alluding to there was the MPS doesn't. It only addresses terrestrial environments. Yeah. It doesn't address the others. So that's the limitation for two, which is a different concept to what Councillor Noon's raising.
Andrew, do you want to think about looking at a place where we might say something?
Okay.
Because I think it's an issue to raise. Kate, followed by
Brian.
Brian.
Thank you very much. I mean, this stuff is complex and Indigenous biodiversity, and we find it often in non-Indigenous environments. It's nuance to it. But I'm just intrigued about how we protect something like tussock land, which I know is reduced amount of it and it does a lot of eco-services good. But in reality, in some environments, tussock is just the starting point of regenerative bush. And where we are sitting with that, because I know some people don't want bush to come back into tussock land. Because if you've got an SNA for a tussock, does that mean, and they do an amazing amount of good, don't get me wrong, but does that mean that you'd actually be stopping regenerative bush? I'm just not quite sure.
Sorry, you have to excuse Anne and I. We weren't involved in the detail, okay, so we're covering.
I'll deal with it later, but it is one of those when you see these things as transitionary.
My gut reaction is yes, that could happen.
You too.
And part of the direction of the MPS is to allow the transitional reinstatement of Indigenous ecosystems. How they manage things that have been tussock for 100 years but weren't tussock beforehand, I'm not over that detail.
Okay, thank you.
Can I suggest that when, who's the lovely person?
Rachel
is back, we might be able to answer some of these by email to the people concerned. Would that be all right?
Oh, it's absolutely fine, because it is, tussocks give a benefit that a lot of bush doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, followed by Alexa, and Gary and Marion.
I'll leave them to Ms. Whiting. In principle, I support the submission. Just one question. It says on paragraph 32, as currently drafted, ORC does not support the policy on regional targets. This is in relation to increasing Indigenous vegetation cover. Is that because we don't like targets? Is that we're a bit nervous about being accountable? What's all that about?
That'll be it.
Yeah, that is something that I think is part of the local government view.
Yeah,
I think it's not so much the targets per se; it's some of the definitions around them and whether they're appropriate given the definitions. I actually think it's a matter of detail, and that's
okay,
why it's
so
followed by
targets.
We consider then that this needs further work. There's nothing. It's not
you
a position of no
example.
Targets.
You might want to give an example there.
I think you do in the arguments, and I'm just trying to look for them at the moment.
The 10% figure is an arbitrary figure.
Yeah.
I guess what it would be more effective if a target was set on something that was based on information, which once we have information about
mapping.
We'll be able to set some targets based on what we know rather than saying we need 10% of that just because we think 10% is a good figure.
Okay, well, maybe you could say exactly that in your submission. I don't disagree with the principle of having targets. It's just we'd like to be involved in setting appropriate ones.
After further information.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. I think actually some of the answers to that are in Appendix 1. The next person, was Alexa, then myself, then Gary, then Gretchen, and I just saw your hand, young man Michael.
Mine was actually around targets too, but I I think that's answered. I really like generally the submission, particularly the calling out of increasing Indigenous vegetation cover by planting pittosporum hedges. Thank you. Thank you.
Mine was around paragraph 14. Not of the paper, but of the introduction. Okay. In this, you talked about effective implementation by councils requires investment by central government. And you talked about to facilitate and enable territorial authorities and regional councils to effectively implement the national policy statement. Mm. ORC's proposed submission therefore advocates for central government investment and support in the following areas. And in there, you put over some expert technological ecological advice made available to TAs to support their identification and assessment of SNAs on private land. I want to know whether how much you talked with both the TAs and the Otago Conservation Board on this issue. Do you know?
We have been working together as part of what's called a biodiversity Otago regional hui.
Yes, I'm aware
where the
of
matter of this submission was discussed.
Yep.
And these this issue of resource implication and the need for both TAs and was discussed and agreed. And I think you'll find it's also consistent with the local government New Zealand position.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, because I at the Otago Conservancy Board, some of the CODC was present there, and I was worried because they were looking at this huge job in front of them, and you could see that they were people who actually had lots of other work to do in other areas, and it was pretty overwhelming.
Yes, the CODC are part of the biodiversity hui.
Right. Okay, dear.
Just to add to that, there'd been a conversation, hadn't there, between chief executives and others about whether we would actually present a joint Otago submission or whether we would present our own individual submissions. And I think because of the time available, where we got to was that we would make our own submissions, but where we could support the points of others.
Thank you. Gary, followed by Gretchen, followed by Michael, followed by Hilary.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to add some support for the concerns raised by Councillor Noon. And I think we should have some balancing paragraphs. I think you were offering, Anita, was it paragraphs? A sentence. Around that, given we do have some quite significant mining activities in Otago at the moment, and maybe more into the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Gretchen.
Yep, speaking on that subject first of all as well, I don't think we should advocate for the mining sector, so just to throw that out there. The reason that I think that is not based on my own personal opinion, it's that we've been through the process with the regional policy statement. It's partially operative. We've been in court for ages with the mining industry over that, and we've managed to come up with, I think, or is it still in process?
No, it came out yesterday.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yep.
We have set regionally some policy. I don't know what it is, actually. So, yeah. Is that why you suggested... Sorry, this is a question then. That's interesting to note. Where we stand then as a regional council on that matter, maybe that led to your comment. Yep.
So through you, Madam Chair, just to assist everyone, we got a decision from the High Court yesterday on the Oceania Gold Appeal. That appeal is focused around biodiversity offsetting and environmental compensation. And obviously the mining companies are in a position where they are often unable to avoid, remedy or mitigate adverse effects. So options available to them are either offsetting or environmental compensation. The court decision favoured ORC's position, and I've read it once, but it's 54 pages, so excuse me if I just process this for a minute. in essence, the obligation is on the mining companies to avoid, remedy or mitigate, and environmental compensation should only be used sparingly as the basis. Having said that, our RPS policies are reasonably stringent in terms of Indigenous biodiversity, but we also have some provisions around supporting mining as an economic base for Otago. So we can put something in that's consistent with both of those RPS provisions that doesn't necessarily go as far as saying we support the extractive industry, but we can acknowledge that it's part of, you know, Otago's diversity of the economy, and it needs to happen within limits. So we can put something in that's neutral, but acknowledging that they're there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Sorry, just continuing.
Andrew, are you going to just pick up that issue?
I think we probably need to tidy this up now that it's we're debating it, essentially. So I wonder whether I should move an amendment and then we know what we're speaking to.
Yeah, good,
so
go for it.
All I've suggested is the proposal doesn't seem to properly allow for extractive activities. And I'm not just talking about Oceana Gold. I'm talking about quarrying activities. I'm talking about mining activities. This is open cast. So this is quite widely scoped. So if I can make a further comment, Madam Chair, if we're going to discuss this now.
Yeah, shall we just, what's the word? Can you pro forma that and I'll pick it up at the stage? Because we're just asking questions now. Is that all right,
Dean?
Thank you. Back to you, Gretchen.
Oh, sorry, thanks. And thanks for answering that. The other one is noting there that we've got a lot of alignment with our existing biodiversity action plan. So we are projecting that we're going to be compliant, I suppose, is what that was saying. But just quickly, are there any things that stand out, you know, as things that are going to be really different for the regional councils?
I think one of the things is, as you'll be aware, we've started some biodiversity mapping, but the scale of that mapping, and we've done that because we've got obligations under Part Section 6 of the Act to look after our Indigenous biodiversity, and we didn't have a good handle on that. The scale that this takes the mapping to is quite different and quite intensive, so it's it's reasonably expensive. Gwyneth's also just noting... Monitoring and reporting
as well. I think there's a requirement for us as well. So while our strategy and action plan definitely hit us in the right direction, there will be fine-tuning that needs to happen as a result of this, I think so.
Thank you. Michael Deeker.
Thanks, Madam Chair. It bothered me a bit that our submission, and in fact the notes prior to that, particularly around clauses 11, 12, 13. But our submission supports the identification of SNAs being done either through territorial authorities or by the Crown when it's on Crown land. And while I've got no problem with either of those routes towards setting up SNAs, I thought there'd be an acknowledgement in our submission that a regional council could, if it chose to, establish a regional park or two or three, as some regional councils have. And it's always occurred to me that a very good expression of our treaty partnership and of our commitment to Indigenous biodiversity could be working in partnership to establish, say, a tussock grassland regional park, which would be a perfect representation of Otago's Indigenous biodiversity. And yet our submission doesn't even acknowledge that possibility. And I'd have thought that we would want to put a flag in the air saying SNAs are great, but they could also be in the form of a regional park developed by either this council alone or working in partnership with
its TAs
or with its mana whenua.
Yep.
So I wonder whether that is something we could consider inserting in there rather than just sitting back and saying, yeah, we'll help TAs identify appropriate SNAs and the Crown can do the rest through DOC. What about us?
Michael, do you want to find some words so that we might consider that in a group of motions?
I thought I'd found enough.
Because I think we need to test it with all of us.
Exactly. Yeah, the idea may not pass the round the table.
I'll find some notes. Okay. Hilary.
Just a quick question because I just don't understand, but it sounds like a good idea. Ground truthing. Does that just mean going to have a look?
Yes.
Yes.
Those would be better words then, wouldn't they?
Right. Are we finished our questions? Okay, we're up to some decision making, and the recommendation is that the Council receives this report and notes the ORC staff positions and approves the Chief Executive Lodget. Okay, and there's an either or in there. But before then, I think we should consider two issues that have come up. And the first is basically moved by Andrew that the proposal doesn't seem to allow for extractive industries, and we want that addressed in our, what do you call it? In our submission. Can you understand the words I'm saying, Anita?
Yes, I guess the clarity for us is whether you want to support extractive industries or acknowledge that they exist, because they're quite different propositions in terms of the submission. Some clarity around.
Just hang on for a minute. I'm just looking at Andrew. Andrew.
Well, at the end of the day, I want to see a successful amendment. So. Well, I think the important thing is, and can I just speak to it, Matt?
Yes, absolutely.
When you talk about extractive industries, just think for a moment about a quarrying activity that provides aggregate for roading, concreting, etc. And if you multiply that right across New Zealand, it's about 70 tonnes per man, woman and child that's required to keep the economy ticking over. So if you think about the ability for that industry to be able to continue to operate within the current planning framework, this potentially puts a significant hurdle in front of it. And then you can think about mining, as Councillor Robertson's talked about, Oceana Gold, Councillor always mentioned.
Yeah, the
RPS.
Would you like to put allow for the in-between thing between supporting or whatever it is?
Look, I just want to see genuine consideration about the impact on these particular industries in light of the proposal that's in front of us. That's really it.
So if you say something that this submission recognises that there may well be impacts, okay?
That's fine.
On extractive industries.
Thank you.
Brian, followed by Gretchen.
I just struggle to understand. Yeah, sure, one of our councillors has been approached by it, rung up by an industry. What about all the other industries? This is a biodiversity submission. You know, why aren't we putting in there that we need to allow for schools or farms or and now we're saying extractive industry? I mean, I just don't know why we're doing that. We've got this overarching RPS that puts all this in context and perspective. Why don't we just leave it at that?
Okay, well, now we're taking argument, not questions and answers, and that's good. You're saying no to it. I haven't got a seconder for Andrews. Would somebody like to second Andrews? Kevin, thank you. That motion is moved and seconded. And the next person was Gretchen, followed by Kate.
Yeah, mine's an argument, and it's just in terms of fairness to the multiple submitters and different sectors that submitted on the regional policy, partially operative regional policy statement. And we've had a resolution now on this particular area, which, yeah, attracted a lot of attention. I think it would be fair to make a submission, yes, on this area, but to reflect exactly as you said before, that preference should go to, and as a scale, and like whatever is in line with whatever went into the RPS, but, we don't just come up with our own solution. It's what was agreed through the RPS. Yep.
Thank you. Kate?
This is a fraught topic, and I've listened to much information from mining companies in the past, but I also know that this morning I drove along probably about 10 km of New Seal, and bloody annoying it was too because I was almost late. And also we're about to have a hospital rebuilt here, which I don't think is going to come out of wood, regrettably. And there is a need for extractive industries. And so the question I've got is, because I understand a lot of emotions coming out at the moment, the RPS
provides for some quarrying or mining?
Within limits, yes.
Within limits, and yes. Those limits are?
Avoid, remedy, mitigate.
Yep. And so, in the next... Okay, the next...
compensate then.
Yeah, those five scales. I appreciate those five scales. Thank you. The unintended consequence of that can be, my understanding is, that you have a site of quarrying able to be done here, but it can't be mitigated, but they can go up the road, bring the quarry material 100 kilometres and much, much higher cost because they don't have the same effects. And do you want the carbon footprint? Because those are the other things we need to start balancing up, and it's really torturous. Because where can we do that in the RPS? Or does the RPS balance the carbon footprint miles that then are added to that?
So the High Court Appeal didn't take into account things like carbon footprint. It was just around the whether there should be limits on Indigenous biodiversity loss.
Yep. But it can't, you can't do anything else. Okay.
There are balancing provisions in the Act, but the Indigenous biodiversity provisions are stringent. The High Court decision is they are stringent, and we will circulate that. We're digesting it. It is stringent.
Can I just actually look at that wording and say, recognising in the submission that there may be that the MPS may have an impact on extractive industries? In other words, in our submission, we note, okay, instead of just see what it had, so I'm just putting in recognising in the submission, that's where we're doing the recognising, that the MPS may have an impact on extractive industries. Didn't make sense to me as I called it out. I've got a mover and I've got a seconder. Is there any more? Oh, Alexa, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'd like to know if there's any reason, and it's not as a rhetorical question, why we would have extractive industries having any special acknowledgement. We're not acknowledging any other industry in particular, or any impact or not. I mean, why should they? And for me, there is absolutely no reason to specially acknowledge one industry, and specifically this one, but really any industry. My reason for this is that I don't agree with a comment I heard a bit earlier, I can't remember who said it, that in any form of balancing economy and environment, there is no balance. Economy, which is Greek for management of home, eco, ecology, knowledge of home, eco, home. That's where these words come from. And economy can only happen within the eco, within the environment, and that happens best in a healthy environment. Stop for me. So there's no way I'd support that amendment.
Okay. Are we ready to put this amendment? And this is question, what is it? Recognising this submission, the MPS may have an impact on extractive industries, and it's moved. Andrew, I'm just about to call you Angus.
you can call me anything.
And Kevin.
Except for no one.
All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And against?
Against.
No. Can I actually have a show of hands? Mm-hmm. All those in favour, please say aye. One. In favour of putting in that amendment.
Sorry.
Just thought I'd speak the other way. One, two, three,
that's in
four, favour five, six. That's
in favour
okay.
Of the amendment, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Six. And against that amendment?
You misread it. It was seven.
Oh, sorry? I accept that. So the amendment's passed. So we come to the second amendment. Sorry, darling. And this is from you, Michael.
Correct.
That the submission includes, after paragraph 25, the ORC notes that an SENA in the shape of a regional park may be identified and established by the council, possibly in partnership with the TLA or Mana Whenua. Is there a seconder for that motion?
Yep.
Alexa, do you want to speak to it, young man?
No, I've said no.
Okay, thank you. Any other speakers for it or against it?
Can we just say it again?
It's just coming up, sweetheart. She's just having a wee. Here we are. Okay. All those in favour, please say aye.
Talk. Can we talk
aye.
To it?
And aye. Against? Oh, sorry. I'd ask that question. Sorry.
Through you, Madam Chair, just asking the mover if... really he could give me some idea of how what that would form and how it isn't already covered in there. It's probably the two things I'd...
Okay.
What bothered me, Councillor Malcolm, through you, Madam Chair, was the exclusion of that possibility. It seemed that the our analysis of the proposed NPS was that SNA's significant natural areas would be the responsibility of either territorial authorities or the Crown. My understanding is that we have a statutory right to, if we consider appropriate and if we wish to, set up a regional park, or two, or three, in our region, as Auckland, for example, has, with great success. I think there is scope for us to highlight our Indigenous biodiversity and protect and enhance it by means of decreeing that a certain area, and it could be an area of tussock grassland, it could be an area of mountainous relief, it could be a coastal area, something which is distinctive to Otago, which we are especially proud of in terms of its biodiversity. We could do that, and yet our submission is not recognising that. And I want to insert it just to remind MFE that that is a possibility we could exercise. And it could ideally be done in partnership with either our treaty partners or our TLA partners.
Okay. Questions over? Comments over? I'll try to put the amendment again. Michael Laws, I'm apologising. You want to speak too?
I just wanted to very quickly say, I think any misgivings that any councillors might have is that any process to identify an SNA would need to come to council. It would need to go out for public discussion and debate. I think that if we are serious about protecting Indigenous biodiversity, this council is going to be required to lead, and not on occasion, but all the time.
Totally agree with everything you say.
And so for that reason, I think if there are any misgivings about what might occur in the future, it'll come to this table, it'll be natural. But this is just to alert that we will take a leadership role.
Thank you. Anita?
Yeah, just through you, Chair, just to clarify that the proposal is for TAs to identify SNAs.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be our jurisdiction.
Mm. But we're saying that we want to take a leadership role as well.
That's fine, but it won't be our...
Not through SNAs.
Job. Yeah, not through SNAs.
We'd take a leadership role through establishing a park. Dear God, preserve us from doing the SNAs. Okay. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
All right.
So does that mean this is a faulty resolution?
No, it doesn't.
Sorry.
No, it means...
An SNA in the shape of a regional park. Are you saying that we can't do SNAs? Sorry, am I...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So yes. If we can't do them, yes. then in the shape of a park, we can't do them in the shape of anything.
No. You could... There'll be a mechanism, and I think regional parks are under the Local Government Act, not the RMA, which is why they won't be mentioned in this, I think. There could be a collection of SNAs that sit together that you form a regional park over the top of. That TAs would identify them.
Yeah. And we could grab it.
But
can I change the word SNA to that an area in the shape of a regional park? Because that could be a group of SNAs, mm-hmm. or it could be a totally freestanding one. Would you be happy with that, Michael?
Yeah, an area means nothing. An area of significant Indigenous biodiversity.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's what a regional park would be.
Would okay. make a lot of sense.
Add that. An area of significant Indigenous biodiversity to Otago.
I'm happy with that.
Okay. All right?
Yes. I'm happy with that.
Okay. Now, can we have a go? Yes. The submission includes that ORC notes that an area of significant Indigenous biodiversity to Otago in the shape of a regional park may be identified and established by the Council, possibly in submission with the TLA or Mana Whenua. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Okay, now can I go back to the first three recommendations that we received the report? Could somebody like to move that?
Yep.
Yes, Carmen, and seconded?
Alexa.
All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. We note the ORC staff position support the MPS, but records its limitations by excluding aquatic and coastal marine environments. I'm worried about the spelling of aquatic. Yeah. So have I got a mover and a seconder? Have I got a mover and a seconder for that? Thank you, Gretchen. Seconded by Alexa. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried. Now, we either do the normal thing with submissions, we ask the Chief Executive to lodge it, or we do that, we do it under the ORC, okay, subject to any changes that we've made today. So I think I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to move from the Chair that the Chief Executive lodges the attached draft submission subject to any changes made today under delegation. So I'm going to choose one of the options. Can I have a seconder?
Yep.
Kevin, any questions?
Can you just take out the word subject? Because it's basically the changes have been made today.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes. Okay. With the changes. Is that right, darling?
With
the changes made today. Thank you, for eagle eyes. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Thank you very much, team. You are free to go, and I to find the agenda. What? Thank you very much for doing this on the fly, by the way. Okay, we are now up to the annual plan. Can my favourite people, Mike Wurstler and Nick Donnelly, come to the table? Oh, you'll be lucky.
She doesn't even know our names from
them. Yeah, but I've got theirs written down in front of me. You watch me confuse them. Okay, so the purpose of this report is to enable the council to approve the draft financial forecast, not the total plan, it's your forecast, correct? Yep. And the associated work program as the basis for community consultation. And there are some administrative or adjustments to the RFP. So, we presume again that people have read this. Are there any questions that people have of Nick and Mike?
I'm happy to move 1 to 6, Madam Chair.
Look at that.
And second that, Madam Chair.
I think you people should get exhausted earlier in the day.
You take...
Not exhausted.
I'm going to just hold it for a minute. It's a procedural motion. I'm not totally accepting it until, because I can see some arms. Yeah.
I've just got a question from a constituent about the tidy scheme. I just sent you an email, I should have probably done it earlier, understanding what was in the long-term plan and what is in there now, because they could have been ramped up this year, essentially.
Not off the top of our head. We'd have to look at your email and have a look. And,
okay,
and
no, so I'll deal with that separately, and it's something I'm sure they'll submit on. It's very hard to change in any plan now.
Michael, before I put the motion or accept the motion, did you have something you want to say?
Yes, I mean, I'm opposed to, as you know, issue 4, so can you take 1, 2, 3...
And 5 and 6.
And 5 and 6, and I'd like to speak to 4.
Are the mover and seconder happy with that?
Yes.
Taking 1, 2, 3, 5 and 6. Are there any more questions to issues 1, 2, 3, 5 and 6? There being none, I will put that motion, which is being moved by Andrew and seconded by Kevin. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. We now go to 4, which is approves the consultation approach as recommended by the Finance Committee at its 26th February. Would anyone like to move that, please?
Yeah, happy to, Madam Chair.
Andrew, and I'm going to have a seconder up for discussion. Thank you. You can always withdraw it afterwards. What's Topham's name?
Michael.
Thank you. Yes. Michael Laws, you want to speak?
Just very briefly, I think we're missing a golden opportunity here. I've expressed this view before, to consult and to engage with the community in the consultation process. We continually, this council, founders on the basis that it thinks its long-term plan is the be-all and end-all and essentially won't change its strategy in the 3 years previous. It misses every year an opportunity to engage. This is another one of those misses. And it also, I think, behoves upon us as a council to explain to our communities, those that we expect to take a 9% plus rate rise from, why we're doing what we're doing, and to encourage them to become involved in giving us their feedback. This consultation approach does not do that, and so that is why I oppose it.
Okay, I've got a small problem, Michael. We approved that consultation plan. We, around this table...
I opposed it.
You opposed it. So we can't really re-put the motion, can we?
No, you can move it, and I'll just be in a dissenter.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so you're going to be a dissenting voice.
Through the chair.
Yes, dear.
We had quite a lengthy discussion about this particular topic, and a number of the comm staff were in the room at the time, and they provided some advice to us about costs associated with a fully fledged mini draft of the annual plan delivered to every mailbox, and I think 50 to 100k was the figure that was tossed around. Then we talked about the opportunity of using community papers and having essentially a flyer which would be an abbreviated, even more abbreviated than what I've just talked about, in terms of advising the communities throughout the region about the annual plan process. And I thought there was 100% buy-in, and sorry I was wrong, but we did have quite a detailed discussion, and there was good reasons why we didn't support, obviously didn't support Michael's position. But I wouldn't like us to relitigate that now, because this should be damn near a rubber stamping process today.
I opposed it. I was on the, remember? I was on the phone.
Oh, sorry, you were too.
Thank you.
You were
Scott. Who's been God in heaven? It was one of those days. From above. Okay, any further discussion? All those in favour of the motion forward agrees that the changes as defined... It approves it. Where is it? Approves the consultation approach as recommended by the Finance Committee at its 26 February meeting. That was moved by Kevin, and it was seconded by...
Michael
Deacon.
Moved by me, seconded by Michael.
Yeah.
Thank you. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against?
Aye.
Carried. People, is that the end of that whole?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing.
So, no comments on the consultation document at all?
I'm not shaking the boots, so we're getting on with it.
I have too. Okay, darlings. Now, to a really sexy part of the thing. And I know there are people in the gallery on this.